Good morning. It's good to see everyone. I appreciate you being here. The message today is entitled, Got the Groans? There just seems to be so much tragedy in the news nowadays. And sometimes, like with the horrific and tragic mass shooting of Muslims at Christ Church in New Zealand, we hardly have words to describe how to express the anguish and the grief and the lament that we are feeling. I'd already been thinking about that reality when the shooting in Christ Church occurred. For the life of me, I couldn't imagine how shocked and grief-stricken the community must be. I mean, tragedy barely begins to truly describe the event. Now, last week, while I was reading an article about the mass shootings in the U.S. since the beginning of the year and quietly bemoaning our unwillingness as a nation to create better gun laws, something that New Zealand pledged to do and has already done within 24 hours of their mass shooting, while I was reading about the mass shootings in the U.S. this year, I received a text from my daughter. The text was about her upcoming graduation. My first thought was, what a beautiful little moment of joy in the midst of all of this tragedy. Then I started thinking about my own college graduation. Well, what was supposed to be my own college graduation? As I thought about it, I realized what a growing and learning time it ended up being for me in my life when it comes to difficult times. Now, some of you have heard this story before, but it was quite a while back. So hopefully we'll all still be able to, well, to take something of it with us as we attempt to navigate the various tragedies in our lives and around the world. So, it was graduation day for me. I was receiving my first college diploma. I was pretty pleased with myself as what I was. Now, neither of my parents had received a four-year degree, and my brother, as it turned out, still had three more years to go before he received his. And my grandmother, who was my last surviving grandparent at that point, made the long trip up all the way from the North Carolina coast. And she met my parents and my brother in Asheboro, and then they all made the rest of the journey together in order to see the first Sandlin receive their college diploma. Oddly enough, in the end, they did not get to see what they came for. Graduation was on a Sunday, and I was borrowing a cap and gown from a friend. I was supposed to go pick it up from the Wesley Foundation, which is a Christian group on campus. And most of my college friends actually were from the Wesley Foundation. Even the campus minister and his wife were really close friends of mine. And I'll admit that at the time, I was a bit of a traditional Christian. So, Sunday morning, I head to the Wesley Foundation to retrieve the cap and gown with hopes of sort of bumping into the campus minister before Sunday school class that he himself taught there every Sunday morning. And I knew that on such a joyous occasion that he would be nothing more than a giant toothy smile. So it'd be really good just to see him for a moment. Excuse me. I was surprised to find the doors locked. They were usually open on Sunday mornings for those that were coming to Sunday school. And I'll never forget what happened next. I cupped my hands around my face to block the glare from the morning sun, and I leaned into the glass doors to see if I could, you know, spot anyone inside, because the door shouldn't be locked. At this point, I have to say, it wasn't unusual for something very unusual to be going on at the Wesley Foundation on a Sunday morning. As a Sunday school teacher, the campus minister loved to surprise us with sort of lessons as we came in through the door that would then kind of transfer into the Sunday school room. So, at first look, I really wasn't too surprised to see what looked like him reclining on the stairs in the back of the building. The morning glare was actually exceptionally harsh that day, so I couldn't see well enough to be quite sure what the point of this might end up being in Sunday school. So I rapped on the glass. Nothing. No movement. No sound. Nothing. But I ran around the building to the back door and peered through this tall window down the stairwell. No doubt about it. That was him. And something was wrong. So I ran to the church next door, found the associate minister in the kitchen, and told him that something was very wrong with the campus minister next door at the Wesley Foundation. And without giving him a chance to respond to me at all, I grabbed an exceptionally large and heavy cooking pot and made my way back down to the foundation. I stood at those front doors alone. No words. No thoughts. Just the glare of the sun off the glass doors and that big old cooking pot. With one huge swing, I swung the pot at the glass and it shattered with no resistance at all. The next thing I knew, I was standing next to him. I checked for a pulse, checked for breathing. Nothing. Within minutes, I was joined by the associate minister and a few members. I remember nothing else until I was upstairs in the Wesley Foundation apartment with the police. I'm sure they were asking me questions about what happened, but all I remember is being told that I would not make my graduation ceremony. Truthfully, at that point, it really didn't matter, but that's all I actually remember about being with the police. The next thing I remember is them leaving. I was left alone. Finally. My emotions were running rampant. Pain, grief, fear, disappointment, loss, anger. The world was spinning too fast and I just needed some peace. Sitting there in a burnt orange easy chair that was now understuffed due to years of use, I decided to pray. God. That was it. God. No matter how many times I tried, that was all that would come out. I had no words. I was lost. I began to cry. The only sounds in the room were the muffled sighs, cries, and groans of my grief. On that day, for the first time in my life, I experienced the reality that words were too trite, too limited to tell the tale of the struggle and strife that was beating my insides apart. Beyond feeling physically sick, I also felt spiritually sick. I had tried to pray, but I could not put words to it. Ultimately, I discovered that I didn't need to. The reality is that our words are sometimes too trite, too limited to communicate anything about the deep struggles of our very souls. Sadly, there's something very human about hiding that kind of pain away. Or worse yet, trying to talk that kind of pain away. There's something about us that leads us to try and hide the darkness, the parts of life which can be described as groanings. And that's exactly what I did. That's exactly what I did. When I emerged from the lonely darkness of the upper room of the Wesley Foundation, I left the groaning in there. Like I said, at that point in my life, I was still what I would call a pretty traditional Christian. So when I came out of that upstairs room, I showed what I thought was an unfaltering faith.
I couldn't have people believe that I doubted, that I couldn't pray, that I had failed. I put on a brave face, permanently wiped the tears out of my eyes before I exited that door, and then I told the world that I was fine. But I wasn't. Like I said, this was a somewhat early time in my spiritual journey. And at that point, I just didn't want the world, my friends, to think that something had challenged my faith walk. Somehow, letting people see me cry meant that I just didn't trust God's plan. Or worse yet, if I did cry or even go as far to question God, what would they think? What would that say? That life was too much for me? That my spiritual life wasn't enough to sustain me during difficult times? I couldn't have people thinking that. So, I put on a happy face, and all the while, my insides groaned. It is rare, actually very rare, that I ever wish that someone would quote scripture to me. But that day, I wish just one of my fairly traditional friends would have quoted me our verse for today. I wish someone would have quoted, "The Spirit also comes in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." Groanings too deep for words. I don't claim to have a full understanding of that scripture. I just claim to have experienced it that day in that understuffed burnt orange easy chair. It says that our soul's prayers sometimes consist of groans that cannot be expressed in words. That groaning can be the essence of prayer. I also wish at that time I had been a student of Thich Nhat Hanh. His teachings on suffering and meditation and mindfulness could have been helpful. He says, "When you're mindful, you can recognize, embrace, and handle the pain, the sorrow in you and around you to bring you relief. And if you continue with concentration and insight, you'll be able to transform the suffering inside and help transform the suffering around you." I don't claim to have a full understanding of that either, but I'm working on it. And I did experience the need for it that day in that understuffed burnt orange armchair. I needed to be reminded that lamenting sometimes consists of groans that cannot be expressed in words. And more importantly, I needed to be reminded that it is not only okay, but it can lead to a deeper understanding of suffering, which can then play a role in reducing the suffering in the world. As I said, I don't have a full understanding of Thich Nhat Hanh's teachings on groaning, or as he calls it, suffering. But I am getting closer to understanding it. I think my problem was that I was getting messed up with the part that says, "Embrace and handle the pain," that part of this teaching. More precisely, what I was sort of stuck on the handling of the pain part and pretty much ignoring the embracing part, embracing the pain. And as it turns out, embracing the pain was the most important part. Rumi helps me understand that point. He says this: "Sorrow prepares you for joy. It violently sweeps everything out of your house so that new joy can find space and enter." I love this line. "It shakes the yellow leaves from the bough of your heart so that fresh green leaves can grow in their place. It pulls up the rotten roots so that new roots hidden beneath have room to grow. Whatever sorrow shakes from your heart, far better things will take their place." Groaning is okay. It is one of the languages of our soul, the language of our sometimes suffering souls. Groaning is the auditory representation of suffering. It makes lamenting a prayer, in part because it is so authentic. It's the piece of reality that words just cannot capture. It's the deep, heartfelt, soul-felt yearning that expresses more than words ever could. It is okay to groan. It is deeper than our words could ever be. When you doubt, when you hurt, when your soul aches, groan. Embrace it. As Rumi says, let it shake the yellow leaves off your heart and be to prepare you for joy. Don't tuck it away to prove your spiritual journey is strong. Instead, to prove your spiritual journey is strong, fully allow yourself to experience it. And in doing so, you will not only be preparing yourself for the experience of more joy, you will be preparing yourself to help transform the suffering, the groaning around you.